You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining with me on another Matt's Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Just trying to talk about the Mets here. We made a couple comments on how the system is a little bit better than it was, has been in previous years at the top. It thins out pretty quick after that, but we can get into it.
Yeah, I was mentioning just a moment ago before we started recording that I didn't think it was a very good system. It'd probably be a pretty quick and easy podcast. And you were correcting me a little bit. So I'm interested definitely to kind of get into that because some of the guys that have been in the system as their top prospects are guys that I haven't personally thought too highly of. But I'd be glad to hear maybe a little bit of different news on that. Before we get started, just want to remind everybody you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB, and as you heard at the top of the show, if you give us a 5-star review, that will get you entered into one of our listener leagues and or get you entered into some of the giveaways I think we're going to have later on in the offseason. So do that, take a screenshot of it or email me a copy of it. friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits to get entered in to win either prizes or entered into one of our listener leagues, and I think we're going to have a couple of those. So let's go ahead and get started now that we got kind of the tedious stuff out of the way. Let's talk about kind of their top prospect, Amed Rosario. I was saying that I thought he was going to profile more as a till infielder, but you disagree with that. What are your thoughts on Amed Rosario?
Before this year, he was kind of just a guy that I thought was like a glove first, a little bit of speed, no power, middle infielder. But he's changed his tune a little bit. He put up a career high this year, showed some power, 135 ISO. While not great, is a vast improvement over what he's done, career high in 5 homers, but he did hit 24 doubles and 13 triples over 2 levels. So, I mean, the power and the speed, the power while not being prodigious home run power is still extra base power when coupled with the speed. He has a plus plate approach. But, I mean, he doesn't walk as much as he should. But, I mean, he's patient, doesn't swing at a lot of stuff. Does not strike out much. But I think, I mean, he's still always going to be the rare guy that's going to be a better real-life player than fantasy player, but he's still going to be a pretty damn good fantasy player because I think he could still hit 290 and provide, 10 to 15 homers with 20 stolen bases. So that's pretty valuable at shortstop.
Yeah, and that's, like, surprising because I obviously did not follow him super closely throughout the season because I looked at the profile and thought, this is kind of a non-impact guy in terms of fantasy circles, maybe like an NL-only kind of deep league guy. later on in his career, but it's nice to hear he's kind of taken a step forward, because the Mets, I think, are in need of some impact prospects, especially at older positions.
Yeah, I guess I want to clarify something too. I made about the power. Well, I said the home run power is not there. His 833 OPS was fourth among all minor league shortstops in all levels.
Wow.
So that's pretty reasonable, especially from a guy that's 100% like going to stick at shortstop and be a perennial Gold Glove threat. And he's going to bat near the top of the lineup. So, I mean, he's going to have – I hate using this comp, but I don't think he's got quite enough power as Francisco Lindor, but he's going to be a similar player in that mold.
So. Interesting. I mean, do you think that his rank kind of near the top of the shortstop pile in terms of prospects is more because of the graduations we've had? Or, I mean, is he a legit guy that at some point is going to be useful in fantasy?
Oh, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, but I do think he's still a legit guy that's going to be useful in fantasy. I mean, I'd put him just a notch below J.P. Crawford, because I don't think we're going to see Rosario this year. So, I mean, I'd obviously prefer Dansby Swanson, because Swanson's going to perform a little sooner, but I think Rosario's peak might be higher. But, I mean, as far as guys in the minor leagues, I'd stack Rosario up with Willy Adames from Tampa, and I like Gleyber Torres from the Yankees, but, I mean, Rosario is in the same class for me. So,
interesting. All right. What about guys you mentioned that he's not going to be up this year? Or do the Mets have any impact guys that will be up?
Yeah, Robert Gesellman just missed the rookie threshold last year. I mean, he threw 44 and two-thirds innings with the big club. 50 innings is typically the cutoff. So he's still rookie eligible. He was one of those rare guys last year in Double A and Triple A. You know, he had 6.5 and 7.5 roughly strikeout per nine rates, but he went up to the majors and it jumped to 8.5. Made eight games, seven starts, so it wasn't like he's pitching out of the bullpen. He's a big, heavy ground ball guy, 54% ground ball clip. Got a little fortunate with the fly balls, limited home runs, probably a little bit better than he's going to in his career, but he pounds his zone down, gets big movement on the two-seamer that he features. He had a nice velocity spike this year, and he's also, like every other Mets starter, started to use that Dan Worthen slider a little bit. So I would pencil him in as the five starter for them. I know they have Zach Wheeler there, but I actually prefer Gesellman to Wheeler, considering all things health-related and everything. Throw out the AAA numbers. He had a 5.7 ERA, but he's in Las Vegas, and you'll see soon as we get through some of these stat lines for some of these minor leaguers that Las Vegas is an absolute terrible park for development of players, because you absolutely get nothing, and pitchers have to change their approach just to survive in that park. So they don't really get much out of it. But like I said, Gesellman is an extreme ground ball guy with his Dan Worthen slider that gets strikeouts and comes in at a hard velocity. He also has a 80 to 82 mile an hour curveball and a high 80s changeup. I'm very bullish on Gesellman. I think he profiles as a mid rotation guy for fantasy. He might not get the K's that you want. It might be just below a K per inning, but the ratio should be strong. So
I actually agree with you. I like Gesellman for like deeper formats, NL only. I think he's a guy that you know, his call up was, you know, fairly late, and he only got 44 innings at the major league level. His minor league stat numbers don't jump off the page at you. But I think he's a great kind of, like, you know, back your rotation guy in an NL only for this year. Because I agree with you. Because I don't think Wheeler starts on the major league roster.
Yeah, I think they've gone real slow with him. I mean, as they should. He's still got options left, too. Well, actually, I don't think he has options left for Wheeler, but I mean, I could see them working him back in the bullpen. I mean, the Mets kind of do things a little bit unconventional, but it works for them. I mean, with all the injuries and stuff they had last year, they still had the third best ERA in the whole NL, getting major innings from like guys like Gesellman, Seth Lugo, Logan Verrett, guys that aren't really pounding down top prospect list spots, but are getting it done with this similar profile, getting ground balls and keeping the ball out of the air, obviously. So
yeah, I mean, you know, Wheeler hasn't pitched at the major league level. I mean, he's only pitched one inning at any level since 2014. So, like,
yeah,
I mean,
can't count on him at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even if he were somehow to gain the fifth spot in the rotation, coming out of camp, which, like I said, I doubt it. I think he ends up in the bullpen. He does still have two options left, so I wouldn't be surprised if he started the year in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed. I think, like I said, I think Gesellman's better. The peak might be a different story. Wheeler might still have a better peak, but it's questionable at this point with all
the
injury.
I think the ceiling is much higher for Wheeler. Mm-hmm. But
for what we think,
what's the chance that he reaches that ceiling at any point? To me, is a huge question.
Way less than it was 2 years ago, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for me, I wouldn't bank on Wheeler at all. I'd actually, I would love to invest in Gesellman late in drafts in deep leagues. Like I said, NL only, 20 team mix, something like that. I think he's a fantastic endgame pitcher.
I agree. He's even got the look too, the hair with like the Grom and all them, the long center guy.
Yeah,
he's got
he totally
hair,
fits
so.
In with the whole thing they've got going there.
Definitely does.
Who else? Anybody else that's close, or are we starting to talk about guys who are farther away?
They got a couple guys that are close. I mean, nobody that's game breaking talent, but it's a lot of guys that are going to be major leaguers. And obviously, we saw Brandon Nimmo last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably one of the best strike zone judgments in the minor leagues. Definitely on the Mets system. I mean, he has a career on base percentage in the minors just under 390. So can't argue with that. He cut down the strikeouts a little bit this year, 16%. He had a career high in homers and ISO. But, I mean, he was playing in Vegas. I'll read you the stat line real quick so you know how worthless Las Vegas is to scout the stat line. Brandon Nimmo last year in 392 at-bats slashed .352, .423, .541 with 25 doubles, 8 triples, and 11 homers.
I'm looking at it right now. He had a .424 WOBA.
That's silly, isn't it?
Yeah.
And everything, you know, you read about Nimmo and watching him play, he's not that type of player. He's more doubles than homers, clearly. He's not really – he's probably an average center fielder, but he's probably suitable for best in right field. But then his power doesn't really play out there. In the corner outfield, so he's the typical tweener.
And with what the Mets have on their major league roster, he might be their best center fielder.
It's possible. I mean, I still think Juan Lagares probably is, but...
I keep forgetting Lagares is...
But he's easy to forget about because that's probably all he does. I mean, mm-hmm. The Mets have such a weird roster how it's built. I mean, one guy has to get moved. Jay Bruce is probably the odds-on favorite since they signed Cespedes, so it's like I still got Granderson... Michael Conforto. So Nimmo's probably buried out there, but I think Nimmo is deserving of a major league roster spot because he is that typical fourth outfielder. It can do everything for you. Just not anything, nothing well, but he'll do a little something. He can run a little bit. He's not a burner, but he's a smart kid.
He seems to me to be a better real life player than a fantasy option though, because I mean, it's kind of an empty OBP.
Oh, definitely is. Yeah, and that's a very fair assessment. And like his background's weird. He went to high school in Wyoming, and they don't have high school baseball there, so he had to play like American Legion ball. Like as he got exposed, and Mets still took him in the first round. But I mean,
it was a panned pick in the first round. He went 13th overall, and people just couldn't understand it because he doesn't have a flashy tool.
Yeah, but I mean. But to look at it from a positive perspective, I'm not saying he's going to become this guy, and we don't even know what Tyler Naquin is, but we were saying a lot of the same things about Tyler Naquin last year at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's that type of player where he's a tweener, and then Naquin played center field, and didn't rate out well at all, but I mean, he made an impact on the offensive end, and I mean, I think Naquin's a better hitter, but it wouldn't totally shock me if Nimmo had provided some value for a couple weeks as a waiver wire guy.
All right, what about anybody else coming up that might have a major league impact this year?
Same kind of player, but just on the infield. It's Gavin Cecchini. His brother Garen was a former Red Sox prospect. Now he's floating around in the Brewers system somewhere.
Garen was supposed to be a top prospect.
Yeah, didn't work out.
Yeah,
no power. Kind of, he's a heavy OBP guy. It was kind of a tweener, but his brother's not really the same type of player. He's a shortstop, second baseman. But again, he was in Las Vegas, and I'll read you that stat line for him. In 446 at-bats, he went 325, 390, 448 with 27 doubles, 2 triples, 8 homers. And he's not that type of player. He has below average power. He does work gaps to gap, but he is the typical offensive-minded utility guy. So he's interesting to know in NL-only formats. But they have a lot of those guys. The Mets have TJ Rivera, who's also somewhat of an interesting guy. He batted fifth for them in the wild card game against your Giants in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they also have a couple of those guys on the major league roster right now. I mean, they've got Jose Reyes, who's slated for a bench role, kind of a utility guy. Wilmer Flores, who's slated for a bench role, a utility guy. Ty Kelly. So, I mean, it's hard to see him making an impact until there's a move. And I think you and I both expect to see at least a move made in the outfield kind of give Conforto and Nimmo some shots. But maybe another move on the infield, too. Though I don't know where.
Yeah, they have guys like a bunch of guys like Cecchini, TJ Rivera, Matt Reynolds, a bunch of offensive-minded utility guys that don't really do anything super well except make a lot of contact, which is valuable for utility bench spot because you want your bench guy to come up and make contact. You know what I mean? So it's a good profile there, but there's definitely some moves that have to be made here. I mean, not to go off tangent from the prospect pile, but they could use some help in the bullpen, so they could look for something like that. As far as another guy that might see late action this year, I don't think he will, but he could, is big first baseman Dominic Smith. He could be up toward the end of the year. I don't think so, but it's possible. He's interesting for me this year. I'm not a really big Smith guy. He's probably got the best hit tool in the organization, maybe besides Rosario. I think he's a lock to hit 290, 300. But he plays first base only. He's not athletic enough to play anywhere else, and the power won't be ever more than 15 homers, I don't think. So I think he can do better from fantasy perspective at first base. But I do think if you own him this year, I mean, this is your year to move him because he's going to enter into AAA and he's going to play in Vegas this year. So I think you can take advantage of the stat line he might be able to put up. You know what I mean? And
is he like a Brandon Belt with a little less power?
That's fair. I think he's more. Yeah,
I'm trying to think of a good major league. I think that's ultimate peak.
James Loney with batting average.
Okay. Does he play good defense?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
So I mean, he'll help in that aspect. I think he's probably a better overall package than Lucas Duda is, but he's not. From a fantasy perspective, he's bottom rung.
Yeah, he's not sexy because at least Duda offers, 30 home run plus upside with OBP.
Smith will have a decent OBP also, but it might take Smith 2 years to hit 30 homers.
Yeah. So. I mean, he hit 14 in Double A last year. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, obviously in Triple A, it's hard to tell what the true value is if he goes on a tear this year at AAA, but with Lucas Duda's back injury history now, I mean, wouldn't be surprising if he gets off to a hot start at AAA, Duda gets injured, that we see him around midseason.
Smith is also a guy for me that would have, if you play in any like score sheet leagues, he'll have some value. I mean, he's only 13% strikeout rate, career high in ISO. And if you look at scouting reports, it actually does say plus power, but he just hasn't translated it to games because his swing is so geared toward contact. You don't really want to change it because he's going to hit 300. You know what I mean? So it's a weird profile. He's a really good defensive player, like we touched on. So I guess I like Smith, but it's not really in standard fantasy, if that helps you out at all.
No, that makes sense. But yeah, in deep formats, we're talking about, I think, one of the leagues I have where it's 100-man rosters, 30 teams in the league. He'd have some value there.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. So,
what about, is there anybody else that's close to majors, or should we start talking about guys who are a little bit farther away?
Probably talk about guys that are a little farther away now. I'm a big fan of, I shouldn't say big fan. I like Justin Dunn. He was their first-round pick out of Boston College this year. He's a primary reliever. What's weird about him is he started the year last year at Boston College as a reliever, and in the middle of the year he jumped into the rotation, which is a movie. Normally, it's the other way around, especially with a college program doesn't want to mess with the kid that's going to be a first-round draft pick and moving him back and forth like that. But it worked well, and they signed him for slot at 19th overall. Mid-90s fastball with sink. Gets us high up to 98. He's got he's an arm strength guy. He's got a high 80 slider. Looking to develop a third pitch. Needs a curveball or a changeup against lefties. He might be a bullpen guy, but it'll be high leverage. With two potential plus pitches, he's either a two or three starter or, like I said, a high leverage bullpen guy. So that's interesting to know. So Justin Dunn is a name there. Desmond Lindsay is far away. He was their second-round pick, which was their first draft pick in 2015 because they lost the pick for signing somebody, and the name escapes me right now. But he fell to the 53rd overall because he missed virtually all of his senior season with a hamstring injury. But the biggest concern here is that hamstring injury is what caused him to miss a lot of the season last year. He only got 122 at-bats because of the hamstring injury. It was the same hamstring and same basic injury. When healthy, he's a potential five-tool guy. He's a plus runner with above-average power, above-average hit tool. The approach is okay. The approach is actually plus, but, I mean, if he can't stay on the field, it's worthless. So that's something to watch. The first-round pick this year out of Florida, their other first-round pick, Peter Alonso, is interesting enough to me. He put up good power numbers at Florida, so if Dominic Smith doesn't work out, Alonso is the first-base-only guy that could be a 20-22 homer guy. Another long-game guy I like is Thomas Szapuki. Crazy name.
Yeah, that's an 80-grade name.
Yeah, it's one of those S-Z-A-P. Like, that's how you S-Z is your first two letters is always underrated.
Yeah, that'll be fun to pronounce when he finally makes it to the majors, because I'll forget it by then, and you guys can then make fun of me when I fuck it up.
Well, the thing with him is it's going to be a while. He's only 20 years old. He's only thrown 54 innings as a professional despite getting drafted in 2015, because he's had back injuries, and I believe he had an arm injury. Fastball sits in mid-90s. He's a lefty, so that's probably why I like him so much. The slider is a plus off speed offering, which he's got that, but the changeup and curveball need to be more consistent. Needs a third offering to get lefties up, and he just needs a healthy year to build up innings. If he can do that, he's going to shoot up boards. So he's a guy that's worth taking a chance on now before he gets that. You know what I mean? So you can pick him up for the cheap. I guess the last real relevant guy is Tomas Nido. He's a catcher, plus defender. He can hit a little bit above average power. He hit 320, but he's not that type of guy. He does spray the ball to all fields. He's a line drive hitter. I think he more settles in the 260 range with probably, 12, 15 homers. Probably hits like seven spot in the lineup. A good defensive guy, like I said. Pitchers like throwing to him. And then, it's the Mets, so they have a bunch of arms like Marcos Molina and Gabriel Ulloa that are going to hang around and be swingmen. Swingmen are number five starters, long man type. It's a good system. It's not a great system. It's a good system. It depends how much you like the top guys, but there's some talent here for the Mets.
All right. Any last guys to talk about, or is that going to wrap it up?
I think that's going to wrap it up. There's a lot of guys like Andres Jimenez and stuff down, like international guys that are light years away. So we'll guess follow that name. He's a shortstop, but it's probably going to have average power. Probably should stick at shortstop, but he's only like 18, so don't get too excited. But yeah, I like the Mets system a little bit.
But all right.
It's middle of the pack, probably.
Okay. Well, like I said at the beginning, you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTom. FWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. Email the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. And again, like I said at the top, if you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, send us a screenshot either via email or Twitter at Fantasy Benefits, and we will make sure you get into one of the listener leagues or get into or get some prizes that will be given out later on in the off season. So that'll wrap us up. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.